Blog Talk Radio.
Can't complain.
Oh, that is great. That is great. It's good to have you on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I'm glad you decided to come on.
Oh, thank you. And I'm very appreciative for the opportunity. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. You are an advocate for domestic violence. Why did you decide to help other women who have been abused?
Well, actually, as a young child, I was molested by my uncle. And as I got older and I understood some of my actions, I wanted to give back to the community at large. So not only do I give back to women, I give back to young ladies through my organization called Grow a Girl Network, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that I founded some years back. But I believe that we go through certain situations in our life that allows us or sparks something in us where we want to not only be a testimony to others, but we want to help others get out of the same type of situations. So that's why I do what I do.
Okay. All right. How can today's society help abused women?
I think that we all need to understand that abuse comes in so many different shapes and forms. It's not only physical abuse, but we have emotional abuse. We have spiritual abuse. We have financial abuse. So it's different forms that it comes in. So you have to be able to identify what type of abuse you're going through. A lot of military women suffer emotional and financial abuse because sometimes their husbands don't put them on the bank account, and they have to go to their husbands for every little penny that's spent. So that's a type of control. So that's abuse. So like I said, it comes in so many different forms, and I think if we're more aware of the abuse that goes on in society, first of all, we can identify it. And then if we see someone going through that type of situation, we can bring it to their attention in a very subtle way. A lot of times when women are in abusive situations, it's hard to just say, he's abusing you. The fact is, they probably know they're being abused, but they are afraid in many cases to leave that situation and stand on their own because of dependency on this particular person for certain things. So I think if we as a society would look at all the different types of abuse, then we can help others, whether it's male or female, because men get abused as well.
That is true. Teenagers as young as 14-year-olds are being abused by their boyfriends. How can parents prevent this from happening to their daughters?
I think that parents need to be more involved in their children's lives. They need to be more open to the things that children talk about and communicate about to their peers, as well as other family members. I think that abuse and the acceptance of abuse oftentimes comes because we've seen people live in abusive situations, and that's what we think is normal to ourselves. So I think parents need to be more involved in their children's lives and also look at the change of patterns in their behaviors. You know, a young lady could be flourishing in school and then all of a sudden she's getting E's and F's, or she's crying all the time, or she wants to be alone. So I think if we know our children, we'll know the change of behaviors that go on in their lives.
Okay. You wrote in your book, which is entitled 3 p.m., The
Yes.
Preacher, the Power, the Penis in Me.
Yes, ma'am.
You wrote that, I know you mentioned it, or that you were molested at 6 years old. I have to ask this. Was the molester ever sent to jail or prison?
You know what? This might be kind of mean to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. God does all things well. My molester was actually murdered. He was stabbed in the neck 17 times. He was my uncle. And I remember the police coming to my aunt's duplex and, you know, giving the information. I remember my mom and her sisters crying. But in my mind, I said, it will never happen to me again. So as mean as it might sound, I was grateful for his demise.
Is that the only reason that he stopped molesting, because he was murdered?
I believe so, because even as I got older and started communicating this openly in my first book, it brought a lot of things to light regarding other family members. Even though it's a hard topic for them to share, I'm very open and honest about it because I've come to grips that it happens, but how can I move on? It took me 20-something years to be healed from that, and it also took me a lot of experiences to understand why I was doing what I was doing as a child, as far as masturbating or even looking for love in all the wrong places. So I am grateful that it happened in the aspect that I can help save someone else's life. Did it hurt? Yes. Was I scarred emotionally? Yes. Am I over it? Yes. Can I talk about it openly? Yes. Can I share about it? Yes. Can I relate to someone else's pain? I definitely can, but I can also show them and tell them how to get over.
Okay. Do you consider yourself a survivor or a victim?
I am a survivor. I think anytime you can come out of a situation and you can help someone else and you face your demons and you're healed, I think you can definitely call yourself a survivor without wearing a mask, because so many women in so many different venues wear a mask, the women in the workplace, the corporate woman, the pastor's wife, the woman just sitting in church as the lay person, the woman that I see every day at Starbucks. A lot of us wear masks, and we're afraid to take them off because we can't identify with who we are.
Okay. All right. What has helped you, who or what has helped you the most in coping with these horrific crimes that were, even though it's been years ago, that were committed against you?
Could you repeat that question? I didn't hear you clearly. I'm sorry.
What has helped you the most in coping with these horrific crimes that were committed against you?
Wow. Who suffered most, correct?
Yes.
I believe.
Was
say
it
that
God,
again.
Was it an aunt that helped you the most in coping with these
Who
horrific
helped me
crimes?
Most? Okay. I'm sorry. Actually, when I was about 15 years old, I remember being in church in choir rehearsal, and I was kicked out of choir rehearsal for talking. I really didn't care. And the keyboardist, she actually called my mom, you know, while I was right there. And my mom said to her, I cannot do anything with her at this point. So that particular woman, her name is Rita Dotson, she took me under her wing. And she listened to every sob story. She went through every marriage that I've had with me. And she was there without judgment. And I was able to be me. I was able to be free to say and to do with her. And she still loved me regardless of the situation. And that's the love that I extend to other women and other girls. I always tell people, you never know someone's story, so don't judge a book by its cover. Get to know the individual, and then maybe you might get to know why they are the way they are.
Okay. How long were you married to an abuser?
It depends what type of abuse you're talking about, but...
Physical.
Maybe about a year, year and a half. If that,
okay.
And then I got out.
Okay.
I got out, and it was very interesting because before I got out, I didn't know how I was going to get out, but my brother helped me in that particular situation, and I had to make a stand because someone was going to really get hurt, and I believe at that time I would have got hurt, but now being a different person, different story.
Okay. All right. You write that you're married to a preacher. Could you explain your belief about infidelity that the pastors are doing while married?
Some
of the pastors?
Pastors committing adultery is pretty much, to me, part of the norm in society these days. I will not say that all pastors are adulterers. My father is a pastor. But a lot of them are. And it's like I don't want to say it's a scandal, but it is very scandalous in many ministries. And the sad part about it is that the congregations will uphold these quote-unquote men of God, but they will shun the wives away and point their fingers at these women who are being emotionally abused and spiritually abused, yet people will still support the man of God. I think it's a disservice. I think it's an injustice. I do not believe that it's godly. And I feel bad for a lot of our women. However, the Bible states that judgment is going to start at the house of God first. And I never really understood that until I was going through my situation and until I met other women who have gone, many women who have gone through the same type of situations, whether their husbands were messing with men or with other women.
Okay. All right. All right. Why do you say that people should not put pastors on pedestals or consider them infallible?
Because
you were a preacher's wife, I know. I read in your book, some of your book, that you were a preacher's wife. So why do you say this personally?
I believe that people put pastors on a pedestal because it seems to be, and it is, quite a quote-unquote powerful position. Many women want to be with a preacher or someone in ministry, really not knowing the shoes that they will have to walk in. And I'm not saying that everyone's shoes are bad, but there's a lot that goes with that territory. Being a pastor's wife, you have to deal with the emotions of the people as well as dealing with your own emotions. If you're going through certain situations and your marriage isn't a godly marriage, but a marriage where you're living a facade before the people, but you're hurting like hell inside. But I believe people put the men of God on a pedestal because they look at them as a god, you know. But even God said that you should have no other gods before him. So, I mean, we should know better, but I believe people are due to emotionalism and religion and spiritualism into believing that these people are a god. They might be a prototype, but they are not God.
That is true. They are human, and human can.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Okay. And I also believe that if we were perfect, we wouldn't be on this earth. However, we are being perfected.
All right.
Some of us.
Some of us. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Listeners, we have on the show today, Ms. Sharon K. Griffin. We're going to go to break. Give her time to get a glass of water or something, and don't leave the show because we'll be back in less than 5 minutes.
A special event can be very challenging and stressful at times. Our staff of professionals organizes your event down to every last detail, no matter what size. Our creativity and attention to detail turns your ordinary party into an extraordinary event. And Decline provides world-class service. We coordinate quality events. We can provide travel arrangements, accommodations, event sites, caterers, florists, photographers, transportation, hairstylists and makeup artists, daily itineraries, and pre-event information such as detailed maps, save-the-date cards, and invitations. Being a custom event planner means that we cater to you. It is our job to find the best possible way to present your event. We have been referred to as Dreamweavers.
Let's get down to business. So you're having that company function or business function, and you need the proper services to get that business menu pumped. Okay, here's the solution. Call Exquisite Barista Services. Exquisite Barista Services has the experience to create a signature beverage for your business or organization. Services also include barista training, custom beverage menu creation, food and beverage pairing, and so much more. Visit Exquisite Barista Services online at www.exquisiteexpressinc.com or better yet, call 210-701-0143. That's 210-701-0143. Don't take your chances on the other man. Get that grand plan and choose Exquisite Barista Services.
All right, listeners, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest on this show today is Ms. Sharon K. Griffin. She's an author. She's a speaker. She's also a life coach. So, Sharon.
Yes.
I have to ask this. What are the battles that Christian women face when married to, let's say, not just a preacher, not just going to target preacher, but if they're in the church and they're married, I might as well say pastors, not attack on pastors, but what are some of the things they face that you feel that are not right? I mean, even within your own marriage to a pastor.
Wow, I felt like I lost my identity as a person. I became his wife, and I also became ministry. So I was taught, like I said before, to wear a mask. Even though the home was in chaos, when I came out before the people, I always had to have that smile on my face and be pretentious because I wasn't being my authentic self. I think that as a pastor's wife, a lot of women get overlooked because though they're in the quote-unquote background, a lot of them actually built the church.
Okay.
Using their skills and their expertise. Yet he gets the shine and he gets the glory because he's the orator. So I believe a lot of people don't understand that a lot of women are working behind the scenes to build the ministry. And then another thing, you're building your man up, you know, you're praying for him and you're asking God to bless him, not only because you know you'll be blessed, but you genuinely care about the man that you have chosen to marry. And I was going to say God has given you, but a lot of times God didn't give us, you know, particular people. We just chose to marry them. So there's a lot that goes on that people really don't know about in ministry. And I will even say you might lose yourself sexually. And I talk to women about this all the time, and not just pastors' wives or even pastors, but a lot of women in my age group, which is, I'm 42, but I'm going to say 40 and above, they're coming into their prime, and they want to try different positions and do things that's new and creative, but the men are yet lacking and afraid, because sex in ministry or talking about that is so taboo in the American culture. But I'm thinking, well, how do you think you were born? Your parents came together. And I think that sex should be something that's fun, erotic, creative, and something that you really can enjoy with your spouse. And I think that if more people in ministry would be open to exploring their sexual behaviors in the bedroom that's agreed upon the two, I think there would be less divorces in the church.
Yes. You're probably right. You probably are right. I call you a survivor also. I asked you, did you consider yourself? You are definitely a survivor. You went through things that would have, I'm not going to say people not as strong as you, but you went through some things that other people would have turned to drug abuse and things like that, and would have still been on drugs, because some people can't deal with things in certain ways. So you know, you really have come through. And
I have. But you know what, Angela? I have to say that I've come through because I like to talk. So I will talk it out. I used to practice dental hygiene. And when I was going through certain situations, I would talk to my patients, even though that's unethical. I needed someone to talk to, so I didn't care who I talked to. Anyone who would listen, I was talking to, because I had to get it off of me. And it's amazing, just by simply talking, I have some wonderful relationships, or have established some wonderful relationships for years now, gaining spiritual parents, because I love talking to people of wisdom. I love crying on their shoulders and listening to what they have to say. I have a preacher girlfriend whose husband had HIV and AIDS, and I listened to her saying, you know, how she was there through thick and thin because of the friendship. So I have people like her that I glean from, you know, because they've been where I was, and they yet survive. So we can communicate, but she takes it to another level. So I have those type of people, strong people in my network that I can really communicate with and cry on their shoulders, and also who can get a prayer through. Not everyone can pray, and I don't want everyone praying for me. And I'll tell people, no, you keep your prayers, because sometimes people are praying against you.
Yes.
You know, they want to.
My mother told me that. Don't tell everybody to pray for you, because sometimes people will pray against you. Pray for yourself.
That's
pray for yourself first, because when you tell people your dreams and what you want to accomplish, and they start praying against you and being against you, you create enemies, actually.
That's true. That's true. But we have so many haters.
Yes.
You know, yet we're surviving, and we have survived, but people are in the background hating, hoping for our demise, hoping that we would fail. And it's unfortunately that some of these people are even family members.
That's true.
But you have to love them. But you can love them from a distance.
Yes. Yes, that is true. You have to love them from a distance, or you'll be destroyed.
That's right.
Okay. I read in your bio that you had worked with Halle Berry at her red carpet event. Could you talk a little bit about this?
Yes. I think I went to Beverly Hills maybe 2005, 2006, and it was to support the Genesis Foundation, which is her foundation that supports domestic violence victims. And it was a fabulous event. Matter of fact, I was communicating about that event a few days ago, saying that there was some celebrity chef there, and someone actually, a black woman, and this is what I love, she paid $10,000 for this gentleman to come to her house and cook just so she could support the foundation. So being there was an amazing experience, because not only did I see people supporting victims of domestic violence, but I also got to see people of wealth, people who were doing things, and not just in the white community, but the black community.
Black community.
And it was a nice thing to be amongst celebrities, you know, just shaking hands and just willing and dealing. I think a lot of people want those type of opportunities, but I'm blessed to have experienced many of those type of opportunities.
I found it interesting that you talked about how people, the haters as you call them, I think it's sad, I do, that people hate like that in 2013 when there's so many opportunities for everyone. I don't know if you agree or not, but I just think it's sad there are so many opportunities out there for people with the internet and all those. The internet, cell phones, you know, making communication, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and to hate someone because they're taking better in themselves and improving themselves, that's wrong.
I truly agree. But you know what? Most people use their haters as their motivators.
Yes.
Because it's your haters that catapult you to the next level, because you're constantly working and grinding so that you can prove everyone wrong. God gave us all gifts and dreams, but many of us don't work the gift and the dream. We'll rather point our fingers and wish someone hatred as opposed to working our gift and dream. And that's a sad thing, especially in the urban market or the urban community.
Yes.
And it's not to put my people down, because I love my people. That's who I give back to the most through my organization. But we need to learn to embrace each other and stop being crabs in the barrel pulling each other down, because there's so many billions of people on this earth that we have enough in us to serve a particular genre of people that God has given to us. However, we don't use the gifts that we have to bless others and to make or create wealth for ourselves.
That is true, because that's true. You are right. You are 100% right. We should learn to love each other, at least embrace each other and encourage each other to do better instead of hating on one another. Okay, but that's not what the show is about. So let me get back on topic.
Yes, ma'am.
Let me get back on topic. It's about you, your book, and what you're doing. Okay. What do you think about the new law that President Obama passed about domestic violence? Do you know anything about that?
Nope. So you can please fill me in.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know a whole lot either, but I know he passed a law about domestic violence and the beating of women and things like that, and gays, homosexuals, excuse me, I apologize, and things like that. So I'm just wondering, what was your opinion on it? Do you think it's going to help any, in the black community in particular, do you think it's going to help?
Well, if I knew exactly what the new law was, I could give you an effective answer, but because I don't, I really can't answer that.
Okay.
However, I believe anything that's out there that's going to protect people that are being abused, I think it's a win-win on all sides. because that's something that's needed. Even though I have to say that some of the current laws, as far as I'm not sure of the paperwork exactly, but when you get some type of paperwork to keep people away from you or a particular person away from a restraining order. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I think when you have those, I don't think they're as effective as possibly they could be because people break laws. There have been many women who had restraining orders, yet they were murdered.
Yes.
So if his new law is offering something that will truly protect the people,
yes,
I'm all for it. However, I will do my homework.
Okay. All right. Okay. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot.
Oh, no, that's okay. I mean, I'm open to learning, so you will never be able to put me on the spot because you can teach me as well.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right. So what are the names of your books?
Okay.
For the other books that you wrote.
My first book is From the Heart of a Woman, Her Pain, Her Passion, Her Reality. And it deals with situations that women go through that they don't share. My second book is What About the Children? Listening to Their Hearts Cry. And it was co-authored with 25 teen mothers out of Philadelphia. We actually wrote that book during the summer program where I was mentoring the young ladies. And the area where it was written has the highest HIV AIDS rate in that part of Philadelphia. So I was even honored to empower these young ladies to want to write. And that book was so powerful to me because I got to see other people's stories. Some of the young ladies said that they've never seen people who've made it and then who came back to their communities. So that really touched my heart. Some young ladies talked about being pregnant by their fathers or stepfathers.
Oh, my goodness.
So a lot of our young ladies have gone through horrible situations, yet they don't have an avenue where they can really communicate these ills that are affecting them.
That's horrible, but all right. If you could talk, what would you like to say to the listeners that are listening to you right now? Because on Facebook I had about 30 people who said they liked this, and I averaged between 300-500 people a night, so even with repeat shows. So what would you like to say to Liz? Because you've got a whole lot of different people listening to you from a lot of different places. What would you like to say? You can talk to everyone. What would you like to say that's going to help somebody, that's going to improve someone's life, like your life has been improved?
Mm-hmm. What I would like to say to everyone is that as long as you have breath in your body, you too can be a survivor. And you have to choose to live and not die. And when I say choose to live and not die, I'm not talking about a physical death. I'm talking about a spiritual death and an emotional death, because those type of things cause illness, especially depression. You know, there's a lot of Black Americans and white Americans who are taking their lives because they can't cope with the things or the hand that was dealt to them in life. But as long as you have breath in your body and as long as you choose to want to live and want to survive, the sky is the limit. The peace that I have, the healing that I have, the wholeness that I have is offered to everyone. And a lot of people say, well, how did you get where you are? How did you go through a 14-year marriage of spiritual and emotional abuse and you were able to come out on top? And even as a Christian, I'm going to say I got it on the dance floor with a margarita or a martini in my hand. That's how I was healed. You know, most people say, oh, you didn't go to church. No, I didn't go to church, but Jesus was always in my heart, and I know I have a relationship with God. But I'm like this. Any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. And that's how I got my healing and deliverance, on the dance floor. So whatever it takes, where you're not hurting yourself and you're not hurting others, be you and do you.
All right. That's all right. What can my listen? That's all right. That is all right. That's good. You know,
that,
all right.
Angela,
a strong,
I'm real
a strong
about
black
it.
Woman. Strong black woman. So, all right. Okay. All right. Where can the listening audience go to buy your books?
They can actually go to www.3pmbook.com. Again, that's www.3pmbook.com. And I would love if they join my Facebook page,
okay,
which is Sheron, C-H-E-R-O-N, dot K, dot Griffin, G-R-I-F-F, as in Frank, Frank, I-N.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, there's not a whole lot more any questions that I have. I do thank you for coming on my show.
Thank you.
I know you've probably helped somebody and encouraged somebody, whether you know it or not.
Yeah.
And that's what show talk is all about. It's not just about celebrities and things like
yeah.
that. It's a voice for all people. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show. And if there's anything else you want to talk about, we can end the show.
All right. Well, I appreciate, again, the opportunity for you allowing me to grace your show. I've had a wonderful time. Like you said, I hope that I touch someone's heart to want to change, want to survive, be transparent, be authentic, and live their best life. My tagline is a life without limits. And you don't have to have all the glitz and the glamour, but if you have peace of mind and wholeness of heart, you have a life without limits.
Okay, we've got a few callers. I couldn't help but know. Do you mind if I go to the switchboard?
Oh, not at all. Please do. I welcome that.
Hello, listener. I know you've been on for about 35 minutes. Do you have anything you'd like to say to Ms. Sheron K. Griffin? Hello? Okay, I guess not. Thank you for listening. Please continue to listen. All right, I'm not going to go to the others. I'm just, okay, because some of them have restricted lines. So,
you sure?
Well, I can try. Hold on.
Okay.
Click on the mic. Hello, listener. We have Ms. Sheron K. Griffin on the show. Would you like to say anything to her? Any questions that you might have? Okay. All right. All right. I guess not.
Okay.
So I'm going to leave that alone because they obviously just called in to listen to you and be inspired by you through the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
So we're not going to put
ma'am.
Anybody on the spot. Like I said, I hope you know you've encouraged somebody.
Oh, thank you so much. That's what it's all about, empowering others to live.
Yeah, it's about 10 people, but they all have restricted them, so that's telling me that they don't want to talk. All right. Well, Ms. Sheron, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you again.
And keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing.
I sure will, and I'll keep you posted on events and when I'm in different areas and things like that. And, again, I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you and good night.
You're more than welcome. Thank you very much, Ms. Griffin.
All right, now. Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
You too, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right, listeners, we've had Ms. Sheron Greg Griffin on Show Talk with Angela Butler. She is an author. She's an author, like I said, and she is also a speaker, life coach. We didn't talk a whole lot about a life coach, but that is what she does. She's told you how you can go to her website and buy her books, which I know will help someone. And if you don't need the book yourself, if you know somebody who is being abused, either emotionally, physically, verbally, financially, give them the books. Give them the books to read. Sometimes when you're close to somebody, you're trying to tell them something that's bad for them or that someone is hurting them, they don't always listen to the people closest to them. So maybe they'll read your book, read her book. So I'm going to end the show, and I thank you all for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Have a good night.